inevitably, we're going to fall. Not because we're bad people, not because we didn't mean to. Listen, not even because you weren't being careful. There are things that you can do to change the standard deviation, as they say. There are things you can do to change that. You can put rails up, and that may lower it a little. It doesn't lower it a lot, believe it or not. You can take carpet off the steps, and that'll help you some. It doesn't cure every problem, but it does, because the carpet is a variable. All of those things matter in the variable, but not a whole lot. If you're on the steps enough time after the age of 70, it doesn't matter, Mom. You're going to fall. That's what I said to her. Oh, aren't you a son of mercy? I am. Because, listen, she's still hung up on the idea that somehow this has something to do with the picture. Like, the picture or the steps made an agreement to trip her. And now she's saying, if only I hadn't done that. I was reading this week. Alfred Nobel read his own obituary, which is unusual, and it was really his brother that had passed away, and the newspaper thought it was him, and this is what it said. It said that no man has ever created anything that could kill more people quicker than this man. Alfred Nobel created dynamite. And almost immediately, they weaponized it. They turned it into a weapon. They started making bombs. They started making mines. The cannons would shoot three times as far as what they would before. And so this material that he created, that he invented, all of a sudden became like the nuclear bomb is today. And he was reading this, thinking that this was about himself, when in reality it was his brother, his life. And so he came away from that and he said, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change this. And this is what he did. He rewrote his will and gave his entire fortune to rewarding people for creating good things in physics, in chemistry, in medicine, in literature, in peace, in science, and in economics. And we have what today we call the Nobel Prize, and you probably didn't even know he created dynamite. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted you to think of him as someone that gave out awards for good efforts, not the dynamite that he had created. But I want you to see this. Most people do not get an opportunity to say, if only I had not created this, if only I had not done this, if only I could do this over. Most of us never see it that way. And here is a man that said, you know what, I'm going to do something different about this. And so he actually does. It was intentional. It was on purpose. He decided at some point that he would do it. He didn't just like slide into it. He didn't just make these, adjustments in his life. He intentionally and deliberately chose to rewrite his will so that people could be rewarded for great things that he had done. Now, whether you realize it or not, much of the things that happen in your life, if you will anticipate them, you can affect the destiny and the direction of what those things may be. Now, in our scripture today, in Romans chapter 8, we're going to be here for 2 weeks. In Romans chapter 8, this is what it says. Meantime, in the moment while you're waiting, God's Spirit is beside us, helping us along. So differently than the multiple, which is agnostic, he is saying here, God is working along beside you. He's with you. He's trying to help you, and he's not abandoned you. And he says he's working right along beside you. Even when you don't even know what to pray or how to pray or what to pray for, he said, God interprets your situation, interprets your life, interprets even the moans and the groans that you give from the absolute worst circumstances of your life. And God hears you. He hears you. He says, from the words and the sigh of the aching groans of frustration, he knows us far better than we know ourselves. I think about this all the time. I whether we realize it or not, we used to think that God was at church. He waited here till we came back. And I don't know where he was, but he waited here and we came back to church, and then he was here on Sunday with us. But that isn't what he's saying. He is with you everywhere you go, in every circumstance that you find yourself in everything. He's watching you. He is in some way participating, observing. In some way, he is right there with you. And the Apostle Paul wants you to know that. Now, that should be positive reinforcement. That should be an encouragement. It also should be a mechanism of accountability. It's just interesting how people behave when there is transparency, or when they're being watched as opposed to when they're not. So just always assume that there is this mechanism of accountability, and he is in some way, this Spirit of God is in some way there with you, participating, working with you to make this all work out, to help us in the present before God. That's why we can be sure that in every detail of our lives, of God's love is working to do something good. To do something good. Now, you and I both know that my mother had been up and down the steps since we cleared it out up there probably 20 times. Yeah, you and I, we know that. Even though she said, oh, this is probably the only time I went up there. Well, like in the last 5 minutes, is that what you're talking about? Here is what God is saying. Even though you find yourself making these bad decisions and you have this if only frustration, I just want you to know that I'm constantly working to get you back on the track again. I'm working to get you back on the track. I'm working to fix the mess that you've just created. I'm working to do that. And even though this may seem catastrophic to you now, and even though this may seem to you that this is the end, that it's over, that I've destroyed my life, I just want you to know that I'm working. I'm working in this, and I'm working to make something good out of this in your life. My wife brought home a box of instant no-calorie pudding from the store Friday, because we're going on diets. No-calorie pudding. That's right. Chocolate. And she mixes this stuff up, and it looks like chocolate milk. It never gets any texture to it. All right? So we've got some, those little cartons of regular chocolate pudding in the refrigerator. Okay? And I didn't know this. She goes in there and gets one of those and dumps it in there and stirs it up too. And it still doesn't get any texture, doesn't get hard or stiff like it should. So she gets another package or two and dumps some more in there. And that's not all. We have real whipped cream at our house, not that Cool Whip or that chemical mix or whatever that is. We have real whipped cream, you know, like cream that's been whipped And we like to put them on strawberries with sugar on them. And she dumped some of that in there. Mixed it all together. And, you know, it finally kind of stiffened up. And she served me some with some whipped cream on. I said, you know, this is the best sugar-free stuff I've ever had in my life. I mean, you know, really now. Wow. You know, they've come a long ways on this stuff. Now listen to this. She just kept working with that, all right? She just kept working with it, putting more stuff in it until she made something good out of the mess that had been created. And it was good. I had a whole bowl and then another bowl of that sugar-free. Listen, this is what he's saying. Okay, if only, sure, we've all got that in our lives. But he's saying, listen, I was there at that moment, at that time, with you, even though you didn't know it, I was there. The second thing I want you to see, I'm going to take that situation and those circumstances, and I'm going to keep putting stuff in and adding this to it till I can finally get something good out of this situation and whatever this mess it is that you created, that I'm going to get something good out of it. If only. So the next time you have an if only, you're going to say, now, God, how are you going to make something good out of this mess? Because he was there. He didn't want you to do that, but he was there. And he saw the whole thing. He heard the whole thing. And what he says, I'm going to help you now take this mess that you've made and create from it something good in your life. God knew this, all right, from the very beginning. He knew your nature. He knew that you would do things that you, listen, have you ever sent an email and like right as you clicked it, you said, oh, I wish I could get that back. I'm the only one. Come on, class. You see, or text somebody and then pushed it and like, why did I say that? See, this is what he says. Sure, that's going to have all kinds of fallout. It's going to take all kinds of explanations. It's going to take all of these different things to some. But he says, I'm going to help you make something good out of this. I'm going to have you make something good out of this. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who loved him along the same lines as his son Jesus. In other words, from the very beginning, I have this DNA in me that is much like Jesus. In other words, that if given the opportunity, that will surface in me. That will come up in me if given the opportunity. Because that's how God made me. He bent me in this direction. He formed me to be predisposed, if you will, to be as Jesus was. The Son stands first in a line of humanity to restore. In other words, I restored my Son, and I'm going to restore you. Yes, in the if only. I was talking to my mother, and I said, Mom, what is it that you've learned from this? Because my mother she's a school teacher, or was a school teacher, and you know how they find moral lessons and everything. And I said, Mom, what is it? I said, what has this shown you about yourself? And listen, there was not 2 seconds. I mean, there wasn't any pause. There wasn't any hesitation. She said, I tell you, this has humbled me. And I needed humbling. Well, I wasn't expecting that. In other words, the if only I had not gone up there to get the picture, was transitioning into God has humbled me, and I needed humbling. Whoa. This is what the scripture says. He knows, even if we don't, our pregnant condition, that inside of us there is all of this potential, there is all of this ability that we just smush over with all of these bad choices, with all of these bad decisions. We just stomp on them. That there's so much inside of us that is just waiting to get out. And he says, Christ keeps taking us before God, saying, God, listen, forgive him, help him. Let's start over. Let's give him another chance. Let's work with him. And I love this. It said, God knows how we're wired. Why? Because he wired us. I'm running out of time, and I want to show you this. I'm a great fan of Malola. And she will be 18 this year. This is almost inconceivable. And we all like prodigies. You know, there's a little kid on Ellen that can do there's the piano. There's one that knows all about all the presidents. I don't know if you've ever seen her. She knows what Taft did. I mean, people I've never even heard that were presidents. She knows them, their wives and who they were and just all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're prodigies. Malola is, I don't know what she is. I'm in awe of her. And whether you remember the story or not, but she was shot in the head by the Taliban. And she was shot because in the morning before school, she would go to different little houses around where she lived, and she would get the girls and say, come on, let's go to school. Let's go to school. We should go to school. And the mothers would say, they have forbidden us. No, we must go to school. We must go to school. We must go to school. Here's this quote. She said, I said to myself, Malola, you must be brave. You must not be afraid of anyone. You're only trying to get an education. You're not trying to commit a crime. You must not be afraid. And she was shot in the head by the Taliban. And of course, they thought they had executed her. They shot her right here. And one of her eyes now does not work. But you can't even tell it. Listen, look at the top quote up there. It says, when the whole world is silent, even one voice becomes powerful. What 15-year-old thinks that way? Listen, God has shaped in you and formed in you things you can't imagine. You just can't imagine what he's put inside of you. And he wants to help you get on that and stay on that and stay focused on that until you become everything he has created you to be. I saw her being interviewed this week, and it's somebody that talks this way, and if you've ever heard her speak, I mean, she's speaking before the UN. I mean, it's just incredible to hear her and watch her. And she said, after winning the Nobel Prize, she returned to her high school and to her chemistry class. And she had been to receptions in honor of Nobel laureates, met the president, the queen, the prime minister, And she'd been to other receptions where there were like movie stars and athletes and all this. And she said all of her friends came up to her and said, "What was it like to meet David Beckham?" What? Yes, it's just a little girl. A little girl, you see, that has chosen to be courageous, who has chosen to step over this inward desire to do something good. But in so doing, stepping over all of this fear. This is what he said. "Listen, I'm there. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you every day. I'm going to go with you. And yes, if you make a mess, if you fall down the steps, I'm going to help you get up." And make something good of this mess in your life. There was a group of 50 people who were at least 90 years of age and over. And they did a survey and they said, if you had your life to live again, what would you do different, if anything? Listen, almost all of them said this: "I would take more risk." Now, remember what we said in the scripture. I am right there with you. I'm right there with you. And listen to this. I have placed inside of you already the ability to do the very things you see that you're desiring to do. I'm going to help you here. I'm not going to abandon you. If we had continued on in the scripture, he says, "I will not abandon you. I will not leave you by yourself. I'm going to go with you." They said that they would take more risk and do more things that mattered after they were gone. Now, they're 90 years of age. They can still take risk. It's not over. It's not like that drawer is closed or that door is shut. They're just different. You can still do things that matter after you're gone. This has to become an intentional thing. Or listen, you'll reflect on the life that you've been given at some point and say, "I wish I would have done this, and if only I had done that, and if I had done this, if I had asked this person, if I had asked this person out, if I had tried for this job, if I had put my name in here, if I had..." Yes! I believe this. And I don't think you ever get too old. I don't think you're ever too young. Because he said, he put it in there. He's with you. He's working with you at this time, at this stage, at this place, to take every mess I've made and make something good from it. All things work together to them that love God. He's talking about you. He says, "I know your name individually. I know you." Would you stand with me, please? This morning, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as I do most Sunday mornings, if you would like for me to pray with you, while we wait for only a moment, I'd like to ask you to come forward, and I would love to do that. While we wait for just a moment, for what you've placed in us, God. How you have bent us in the direction of you. I pray, God, that you will be faithful to make us aware that we'll take steps in that direction with the belief that you're there, that you're pushing us on, and when we fall and make a mess, that we just get up and you're helping us move that direction again. Empower us. In your name, we ask these things. May the grace and the peace and of our Lord and Savior go with us. In Jesus' name, amen.